Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. Again, I'm so glad that you decided to join me today. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Go to school, get good grades, and become a professional accountant. That's what they say, right? Well, today's guest did just that, but with a slight twist. Immediately after he obtained his Master's of Accountancy degree and then his CPA license, he let it lapse so he could work on his business full-time. He's a brilliant entrepreneur and the founder of YouNeedABudget.com, software built to give you laser focus with your money. When he isn't writing or speaking about budgeting and being smart with your money, you can find him spending time with his wife, Julie, and their five children. Now, let's hack Jesse Meekham. I want to thank today's sponsor, FreshBooks, for making my life easier. What is the one thing that I am no good at? I am horrible at staying on top of my bookkeeping and accounting for my business. But now, rather than losing the receipts and handing my accountant this giant, messy box of papers, FreshBooks has this amazing app for my iPhone and lets me instantly just take pictures of receipts and sort them by touching a couple buttons. FreshBooks is designed for small business owners like you and me. FreshBooks integrates directly with three things that I use every single day in my business: PayPal, Stripe, and MailChimp. To start your 30-day free trial today, go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. We have another brilliant entrepreneur today that I'm so excited to have on the show. Jesse, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
All right, Jesse, we're going to just jump straight into this.
All right.
Jesse, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Biggest contributor to success? I obsess. So I think it's a little bit, you know, they call it OCD, but I do a really, and it's not like it's some talent. I've always done it this way since as long as I can remember, but there'll be a thing that I think about and focus completely on, and it consumes all of my energies. And that's it. I don't know why that is the way it is, but it is. And so if I had any athletic ability, I could have been in the Olympics because I would have been good at obsessing about it, you know, but that sets me apart, I think, beyond anything else.
Nice. So do you think that obsession allows you to actually, I read an article yesterday and somebody asked an Olympic trainer why some people, besides innate ability and all that, what makes certain people like just brilliant athletes? And it was the way that you could sort of obsess and just stay focused on something, even once it gets really, really boring, but you just stay focused and repetitive in doing it. Do you think that helps you in that way, that you don't just halfway through and then distracted, new shiny object, all the things that we deal with online?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of distractions, and I've become subjected to that as well. You know, there's always this new thing that's maybe the way you should be doing X, Y, Z. But the ability, like that article, you know, when you try and go to an expert level in something, the ability to not think that you're at an okay level and to not be satisfied and be able to kind of just get into the nitty gritty. Like I love writing copy. So that's a great example for me is the copywriting, where you can definitely write something that's good enough or it's okay. But when you really want to take it to the next level, you get to a level of detail that it's just disproportionate returns on that effort. And I think where that obsession, that's where that pays off, is in the obsession brings you to a point where you get disproportionate results, which manifests itself in the marketplace, hopefully, for you.
Excellent. I like it. Okay. There's a time in every entrepreneur's life where they realize one of two things. Either they have a calling to make something bigger than themselves, or else they just can't work for somebody else. You were a professional, certified professional accountant.
Yeah.
You are now a recovering certified professional accountant.
Yeah. Perfect.
Can you tell me if you wanted to make something bigger than yourself, or could you just not be an accountant anymore?
I started the company while I was studying to be an accountant. That was back 10 years ago. And it was just really my grand vision to start this little company online was to make rent. And rent was $350 for me and my wife. We'd been married about a year. And I realized that we needed to make more money to be able to have this baby that was coming, whether I made more money or not. So that was my big grand vision, which isn't much of a vision at all, but it did allow me to obsess over a specific number that I had to hit. And we were able to make it through and not take on debt while in school. And my wife, Julie, was able to stay home with our first child and do the full-time mom thing, which was what was really important to her. So we hit that. And that was my first, you know, at that time I was thinking CPA, become a partner, make $250,000, and this will be great. And then what really pushed me over the edge toward making it at a full-time concern was just working in my field for 10 months. I just couldn't last. There were so many things I couldn't handle. I loved working with my colleagues. Everything else about it, I saw it as so fundamentally broken that I didn't last long at all. So I'd say it was really to get out of that lifestyle. That was my initial driver. Now the vision's changed, but it took a while to get there.
You didn't even make it 10 months, or didn't even make it a year.
Yeah, I'm a quitter. I mean, at the end of the day.
You go to school for, you know? Yeah. What's the one thing you do? I obsess over stuff. Well, I quit after 10 months. This career that I went to school for 3 or 4 years for.
Yeah, I got a master's degree in accountancy. I know all sorts of things about accounting, taxes, and I can teach every small business owner how to not have employees steal from them in 1 minute, you know. But it's just, the work was just stifling, and it just killed any creativity I had. I felt like it was dying. So that was my big move. It took me so long to get the courage to be able to say, hey, this side thing is making enough money. I can jump ship. You know, you get a little brainwashed going through school and having them tell you you're going to land this job and you'll do this, then you'll do this. There's just a lot of indoctrination there. And I just felt like that was what I was supposed to do. So it was tough to unwind that. It took a while.
I would think that would. Can we back up about 30 seconds there? Mm-hmm. You can tell any small business owner how to not get their employees to steal from them in 1 minute. Is this true?
Yeah, there's an acronym called ARC. And you just have to make sure in your process, as it relates to money, you just have to make sure that you keep separate authorization, recording, and custody. So simple example, you have a person that's counting the till at the end of the night. They cannot be the same person that is recording it. So you have to have a separate person that won't have custody of the cash. That's why they run it with two people, right? Because then they require collusion. So, or you have an accountant that maybe pays all of your invoices for you, but they can't be the one that signs the checks. If they can sign the checks, they're going to steal from you. So anyway, I had a fraud class one semester, super interesting class. And you realize that small business owners are stolen from all the time by really well-meaning employees that get in by just dipping their toe in the water one time. And then pretty soon they've stolen $400,000 from you over 3 years. So we could have a whole separate podcast series about small business fraud, and it would be scary and totally interesting at the same time. But yeah, just separate authorization, recording, and custody. I always do my own books. That way I know exactly what happened. And that's the easiest way to manage it. But these accountants that can do everything, those are the scariest ones. Not to say that they're all bad, but it's just,
of course,
you know,
your eggs
perfect basket. Circumstances. Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, ARC.
I love it. Thank you.
There you go.
All right, Jesse, we're going to move to work. So you run a very successful business online at youneedabudget.com. You are married and you have 5 children. Plus you have activities outside of that, which seems like a shocking amount of things to do. This morning was a work day. You woke up this morning. Can you tell us from the time you woke up, say the first 30 minutes, sort of what you do to set yourself up to be productive throughout the day?
Yeah, today was not a workout day. So I slept in until 6. I'm big on the workout. So I woke up not to an alarm because it was my rest day, and I was at 6. And my very first thing I do is look at my to-do list and just, I know what things I need to do during the quarter, and I know then what I need to do during the week. And then the to-do list is pretty easy after that. So I obsess over the getting things done method that I'm sure most people have heard of that are probably listening to this. But I set up my whole day that way. And I run from that. That's gospel for 24 hours.
Wow. A quarter to week to your daily to-do explains it all.
Yeah. And you got to calendar out the big stuff. Like from 2 to 5 p.m. today, I will have, it's called, in my calendar, it's blocked out. It's called rocks. And the rocks are like from a Covey thing from 7 Habits. And I just know during that time that I'm going to do big stuff and not just do little endorphin shot type of work, like be on Twitter or read something on Hacker News or whatever, you know, be a consumer of information. During that rock time, I need to be more in like create mode, because the creation mode is the hard mode. It's also, you know, so you want to stay out of the consumption mode and move into creation. And I have to schedule that time. Otherwise, the day fills up and then you feel like you're really tired at the end of the day and you didn't do anything.
And do you have a team around you and working with you now?
My COO shares a wall with me. We office together at this little executive office, but the rest of there are 26 other people and they're all remote.
Yeah.
So we just do Google Hangouts, and we have an executive team that's 6, including me. And we have very set structure as far as we meet weekly as an executive team. I have one-on-ones with my executives. Like, we have to kind of be, as we grow, we've just found we had to have some structure or we were just tripping all over each other. And so we've introduced some pretty nice lean structure that's, I think, going to help us kind of move to the next level as far as just personnel go. And then obviously what we want to do with our product. So
smart. Okay. Now everything, 26 remote employees with 6 executives. It sounds like everything's going very well. Let's move to struggles and failures if we can. As entrepreneurs and as human beings, one of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong and making a mistake, especially in business. Jesse, can you walk us through how to be wrong in your business?
Oh, man, that is so valuable. If there's any quality that an entrepreneur could have, it would be the ability to change their mind and not stress themselves over it, right? Like, not, and just kind of move on. I've had so many times where I've changed my mind and, or people told me I needed to change my mind and then I did. But the ability to be wrong and be okay with it, I don't, honestly don't know if there's a better quality you could have. We in our company, we talk about being confidently humble. And one of the pieces that we talk a lot about is that it's okay to change your mind and that you don't fault someone for it. That way, the whole culture can move forward. I can be arguing with my CTO over a feature in the software or arguing with my CXO about this or that thing. And then the next day, I can come back and say, hey, I actually think you were right. I changed my mind. And there's no hard feelings. There's no, I told you so. It's just like a healthy environment for the entire team, not just for the entrepreneur themselves. And that, you just have to recognize that the whole process is the rewarding part. There's no reward at the very end. Like, the whole thing had to be fun and enjoyable where you got to learn. Otherwise, I don't know why you'd even be remotely entertaining the idea. The whole thing has to be fun. And the failures, I don't like to fail. And I think there's a lot of people can do to not fail as often, and they should do those things. But the failures are part of that process. And if you are against that, you've got to do something different, because it'd be really uncomfortable otherwise.
Yeah, the whole process has to be fun. I love that. How many, like, what size was your team at when you realized that this is the culture you had to create within your company to make it kind of skyrocket the way it has?
Yeah, we were at a conference. My CTO and I, he's a founder partner as well. And we were watching a guy's presentation at Business of Software. And the guy said, if you don't create your culture, then it will end up being something that you don't like. And there are a couple of things that we took away from that. One was, we liked what we had at the time. I think at that point we were probably maybe 9 employees or something. We liked what we had and we didn't want to lose it. And so that really resonated with us. The other one was we couldn't just say our culture was one way. It is what it is. So if you are like a hard charging, like take the Steve Jobs example, like just not a people person. And we've all probably heard stories of how like rough he was to his employees. That was a culture that they had. And you couldn't just lay on top of that, this say, oh, we're all so friendly. So you just have to acknowledge what it is and then control for it. And if you don't like it, it's something that would take a long, long time to change. So I was glad to see that we caught it early and then we've built it in a way through mainly through hiring. We've really been able to maintain that and I think actually strengthen it. But it's got to be purposeful and it can't be, it obviously has to be sincere at the end of the day.
I like it. Wow. That's great. I think a lot of people, especially when you get into kind of growth mode, they don't maybe do that purposeful. And I think you're right. You're going to create a culture no matter what. It's either going to be a terrible culture that doesn't help your business grow, or it's going to be one that you've nourished and purposefully created.
Yeah.
So it's impressive to see you from now, from obviously hindsight, it looks great, right? But at the time, that's really impressive to do that. I admire that.
Oh, yeah. And we got lucky early on because we had great people. But now when we're hiring, we have a mantra where we say culture before craft. And that means if we find this brilliant developer that could raise our tech game, but they don't fit culturally, we don't do it. It's just not worth it. It does mean that sometimes the hiring process takes a lot longer. And that is painful when you needed the person, 2 months ago. So it's just a place where we haven't been willing to compromise. So far, so good. We haven't ever had like a massive growth phase where you're doubling your employee force in 1 year. We've never had that challenge. So I haven't necessarily had that fortitude tested to the degree that others have. But, this year we're hoping to maybe grow by 20, 25%. And that seems doable. But I feel for those people that get thrown into that, where they just need bodies. That would be rough. Really, really rough.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, 20, 25% growth is pretty huge. It's impressive, right?
Yeah, it's still only like 6 people. So I'm thinking, okay, we can do that. But if you were to say, hey, you have to hire 3 people a month.
That's true.
Then suddenly you're thinking, oh my, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the whole funnel has to get bigger to be able to get to those right people. But anyway, the hiring's on my mind all the time. And so I just, I can't imagine those scenarios where, we talked with this one candidate that she was working for a company where they have new hire Monday. And every Monday, all the new hires are, given orientation. I just thought, how do you possibly do that? But
wow,
I guess you figure it out. So
yeah. Do you have your hand directly in hiring at this point?
I do. I write the job descriptions because I love doing that. And I do more of the kind of end interview, kind of final interview stuff. Our hiring process takes forever. It's pretty rigorous. And so I have it kind of at the front end and at the back to kind of put a final stamp on it for the most part.
Excellent. Okay, let's move on to projects. So projects can be, it's a loose term, sort of anything in your business that you are going to add to the training or add to the site or take on new development, something like that, right?
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of ideas that come across your desk or your inbox at this point, either from customers or from in-house, of things, directions you should go, things you should take on. Can you tell me what, like, the thought process that goes into determining whether you should take action on a new project?
Yeah, we've been bad at this before, and I'm sure we'll be bad at it in the future too. But I get distracted. Like, I see an idea and I think, oh, that looks pretty interesting. I feel like I'm going to learn a lot there. It just seems pretty enticing. And I've led us astray lots of times. So over the last year, I really started trying to dig into what we were really the best at. Jim Collins, in his book, Good to Great, which is kind of like a Bible now at this point, it's so well known, talks about your hedgehog concept and the intersection of what's economically viable with your passion and your competency, where you actually have the skill. And we worked on that. I worked on it. I kind of pulled our team and then made a decision. And we carved that out and we basically said that we are the best in the world at combining education and technology to help people budget. And that was it. And then we looked at passion and said, we're passionate about changing people's lives and it's economically viable for us. It, you know, works that we can sell software. And so we used that framework to not let us become distracted from all sorts of opportunities to add other features to the software. You know, people say, hey, we should track investments in YNAB. We call it YNAB for short. And I say, no, we don't do investments. We do budgeting. You know, that's all we do is budgeting. Mm-hmm. And it really helps you scope down to a point where you can be the best at that one thing. And this, the hedgehog concept for us, we finally formalized over the last 6 months. And it's already paid off in helping us jettison projects and just kind of make sure we stay focused on our core, what we're really, really good at.
So yeah, so now you just, you know exactly what it is you are the best at the world at, and you want to keep that edge by staying focused and not going into, yeah, like tracking other stuff, especially, I mean, when you start building up probably a big development team, right?
Or, oh yeah.
And it's like, whoa, we have the means to, we could really implement something like that really quickly.
Yeah.
But it's probably not the right thing to do.
Not at all. It's so tempting and so natural. It's like the whatever the opposite of entropy is, that's what it is. And it just grows and you can't, you have to have checks in place or you won't even know that you're falling victim to it. And so everyone has to be on board and everyone can kind of call us out and say like, that's not our thing. For a while, and this last year, I spent a lot of time working with business owners. I was thinking, I got to help business owners manage their cash flow. And frankly, if they would use our same method we do for personal finance, if they would apply it to their business, they would see huge returns. So we spent tons of time doing that. And then and to great effect too, it was really growing, but we had to let it go. It was too distracting to focus on a business use and a personal use. Even though there's so much overlap, it was still too distracting. So it was painful, but you know, you let go of a lot of good ideas so you can become really good at that one.
Beautifully said. Okay, Jesse, we're going to wrap up with success in the future. We're sitting at the beginning of a brand new year. You seem to have had a great year last year, good growth. What is it you want to accomplish with You Need a Budget in 2015?
We have, our tech is starting to become kind of old. We haven't released a new version since, you know, for 2.5 years. So our big goal is to switch our business model. We're going to become a SaaS company instead of a desktop company, which most people can't even fathom that we're still doing that. But we are, you know, it's been working, but we can kind of see where we're headed technologically anyway. So that's the big goal, is to continue work there and move our business model over to a subscription model where we can release features as they're ready and not hold them all back for 2 years for this big release. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that we can iterate faster because of it. So it's all hands on deck for us this year to make that a reality. It's a rewrite of the whole software on a new platform that we aren't all totally familiar with. So it's been a ton of work, but I'm confident we can hit it. So that'll be my obsession for the next while.
I love that you ended with obsession, yeah, and started with obsession. That's good. Jesse, thank you so much. We've talked about your business just in passing. Can you just very clearly tell people where to find out more about you guys?
Absolutely. Just youneedabudget.com. And we teach people how to, basically 4 rules to help them manage their money very effectively. It's a new way of thinking about managing your money. And we teach for free. We run live webinars. We teach thousands of people every month. And then if you like what we teach and it resonates with you, we let you trial the software for 30 days, 34 days. And if it jives with you and if you like the method that we teach, then you can buy it from us and it's $60. So it's a one-time deal. It's pretty simple and it's been working well for us. And we enjoy good word of mouth from it and works for business owners as well. I run my own software using this, or run my own business using this software. And it's helped me a ton as a small business owner in kind of getting rid of a lot of the stress that comes with being a small business owner. So there's my pitch.
Excellent, Jesse. Yeah, it was great. You've done amazing things, you and your team, with You Need a Budget, and I look forward to more amazing and awesome things in the future.
Thanks, John.
So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse Meekum, the recovering CPA. I love that. Go to school your whole life, get a master's degree in accountancy, and then 8 months later, quit. and go full time in your own business. And it's been amazing to watch. You've done amazing things. You are, your business, I mean, you're going to the SaaS model, which I'm sure will exponentially grow what you're doing, and you're already doing amazing in business. So that's brave. You came from a very, very conservative career choice and career path, which most people, once they get their CPA, that's just what they do for the rest of your life. And now you just did something else. I love it. And I love seeing the success of it. So thank you so much, Jesse. And he said so many interesting things. He said that whole ARC authorization, recording, and custody. If you have a small business, I would really look at that and use what Jesse said, because I think he's right. You will probably instantly save yourself some money. But he said one thing. He said that one thing, didn't he? Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
If there's any quality that an entrepreneur could have, it would be the ability to change their mind and not stress themselves over it, right? Like not, and just kind of move on. I've had so many times where I've changed my mind, and or people told me I needed to change my mind, and then I did.
And that's the hack. Yes, Jesse, exactly. The ability to change your mind after making it, whether you followed your gut or analytically looked at numbers or whatever it was that made you decide to take an action in a certain direction, the ability to then change your mind and change direction is absolutely key. All of this, everything we do within business, businesses are just consisted of human beings creating something of value and then selling it to other human beings. If that is not the most fluid sort of structure you could have for an entity, I don't know what is. And with all of those people and all of their lives involved in building your business and then in selling the products or services to them, things have to change. They just have to. And you have to be able to adapt. You have to be able to, whether you realize it or, like Jesse says, if somebody tells you you need to change direction, you have to have the ability to just do that and be done with it. And it's, I mean, you can, well, I have so much invested in, I have all this time, all this effort. And I mean, in investing, it's like if you buy an investment and it starts to drop, you don't necessarily put more money into it, because at a certain point, you're just throwing good money at bad. And it's the same thing. You have to just have that ability to, as they call it now in like the startup scene, which I kind of don't like the term, but it's pivoting. Everybody talks about pivoting, but this is indeed just the ability to pivot on an idea and move into a different direction as is seen fit or as you are shown to fit. So thank you, Jesse. I love that idea, and I'm really happy you shared that with us. All right, everybody. This has been a lot of fun, and as always, I truly, truly appreciate you taking the time, taking the half hour to stop by and listen to Hack the Entrepreneur, because it just means a lot. It means a lot knowing that you're out there. And I love getting emails too and messages from you guys on Twitter. jonjohn@hacktheentrepreneur.com. If you'd like to email me, by all means, drop me a line. Tell me what you think. Any questions you think I'm missing? Hey, just let me know. Something that happens to be missing. I love to hear. I love to get the insights from my listeners and from you out there. It really does mean a lot. Also, hacktheentrepreneur.com. Please check out the website. We might be going through a redesign soon, so take a look at what we've put there. I like it. It's good, but I think it's only going to get better. You'll see a picture also of me that my daughter took of me in the Tokyo subway last year, just under a year ago, and that'll be me right at the very top, right next to an email subscribe box. Put your email in there and get my email from me. Once a week, every Sunday afternoon, I send out an email, something that I'm working through, kind of the best thing that I think I picked up through the week while talking to these brilliant people and doing these, having these amazing conversations with really, really, really smart people. It's been fun. I really do truly appreciate it. And if you need anything, you have my email now and you know where to find me on the website. So until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.